the Ohio State Football Stadium. It holds just under 105,000 people. Think of that setting and that crowd at a game. Or think of some similar stadium you have been in. Now you have to take the Ohio State Stadium and increase it by 37% capacity, and you'd get close to the vision St. John sees in the book of Revelation today. His vision into heaven of 144,000 people worshiping the Lamb. So perhaps you've experienced a huge stadium. One way or another, you've been able to obtain tickets to a huge game. You know what it's like to be in the midst of a throng of wildly cheering fans, spilled beer and all. But the experience St. John speaks of is above and beyond any stadium event you've been in before. We read there are 144,000 people in attendance, but that is just the Holy Spirit's way of saying it is the perfect number called by God, starting with the 12 Old Testament tribes of Israel. And it's a vast throng of people, greater than any stadium population you've ever been in. But let's imagine an actual crowd of 144,000 people in the stadium, even if the number is symbolic. And it feels more amazing than any group event we've ever been at. There amidst the crowd, we feel whole. We are totally what we should be, full of meaning and purpose. Yet we each are also totally united with every other soul in the crowd. That never happens in an earthly stadium. There's an energy flowing through us, a deep peace and love from outside of us entering in, a profound joy. Although it is good and fun to be in earthly stadiums where we cheer wildly for the greatest teams, the heavenly stadium event is beyond the greatest of the earthly ones. We are worshiping the Lamb of God. There's a dynamism about His majesty that actually communicates with every single person in this deep, immense throng, this multitude beyond counting. Can you imagine the central person down on the field, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Can you imagine Him at the center of the field of that huge throng, actually knowing your individual presence there, and actually knowing your state of soul there, and communicating with each person in the stadium at once, and communicating immense love and glory? The Lamb at the center is touching the soul of each worshiper in the crowd. Each person in that vast crowd feels like he or she is being treated individually, and yet they are totally aware of being part of the whole crowd as well, and glad for it. You just can't describe the great harmony of the individuality along with the group unity. All enhanced, all touched by the Lamb of God at the center, Jesus Christ. It's definitely an otherworldly experience, the experience of heaven. But it's otherworldly without totally losing what was the greatest value on earth, the closest relationships, the greatest moments of joy, most importantly, the greatest giving in the midst of the deepest trials. That's why our reading said that those 144,000 are the ones who withstood the tribulation, the great trial. Their gift of love in the midst of great suffering is definitely part of their heavenly stadium experience. They are there especially because of their gift of suffering love on earth. All of the best of earthly life experience somehow is being touched and included in the heavenly worship of the Lamb as you stand in the midst of a crowd more vast than you ever imagined. How do we put it into words? The experience of heaven. The experience of the 144,000 people in St. John's vision in our second reading. They are worshiping the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Called the Lamb because he was the one sacrificed, so that his blood could heal us from sin and save us from death. So these 144,000 are all splendid in radiant white garments. They have been through great suffering, so that suffering love is part of their gift of worship to the Lamb, and the Lamb's accepting of their gift of love is part of their joy in the great throng of that heavenly stadium, the church triumphant. There are absolutely no regrets for anybody who becomes part of this dynamic body of worship before Jesus Christ in heaven. No tears, no pain, no sorrow. And the experience is literally endless. Not 20 years, not 30 years, not 75 years, not 150 years, not 500 years. Literally an endless experience of deep, dynamic, radiant peace and love with the multitude around the throne of God. Who wouldn't want finally to live that experience forever? How do we get there? We live a life of discipleship. Paul and Barnabas in our first reading, striving as disciples to follow Jesus' guidance. Paul and Barnabas made the very tiring and treacherous journey from Perga to Antioch. That's some suffering. Their enthusiasm for doing God's work led them to complete this 150-mile trek on one of the most dangerous roads in what is now southern Turkey. Their uphill excursion followed a road that started at sea level in the coastal town of Perga and then winded up through some very perilous mountain ranges until reaching the town of Antioch that was perched over 4,000 feet above sea level, Antioch in Pisidia. This mountainous road was prime territory for the work of bandits and robbers. The journey would have been physically and psychologically exhausting for Paul and Barnabas. Their journey represents the journey of life for each one of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. With some painful struggles and work, yet with some beautiful horizons and vistas as we approach the highland. A fire burned in those apostles, Paul and Barnabas, and it drove them always upward. The voice of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, put this fire into them. Jesus says in our gospel that his sheep hear his voice. Paul and Barnabas were able to hear his voice, so they knew of Jesus' love for them in a very personal way. And therefore, they wanted from the depths of their heart to be obedient to his mission for them in life. They knew there was no other way to live. One modern Catholic speaker puts it this way: be a saint. What else is there? This weekend we observe the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. A vocation is a calling from God, and it always involves some suffering. But because God has created us each individually, he knows which calling will result in the greatest glory for our life and the greatest joy. As we encounter Jesus Christ in Holy Communion today, let's ask our Lord to help us, and especially our young people, to listen for his voice and follow his calling in our lives. Every day let's pray for his inspiration. Here is a meditation Venerable John Henry Cardinal Newman used to consider Jesus' call in his life. God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I never may know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. Somehow I am necessary for his purposes. If indeed I fail, he can raise another. Yet I have a part in this great work. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. God has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments and serve him in my calling. John Henry, Cardinal Newman. Jesus in the Eucharist will always give us power to live our calling for him.